Good morning, and thanks for tuning in on this Thursday, October 2nd, from the Radio On The Go newsroom. I'm Sean Dietz. Over the weekend, Sunday morning at around 1 a.m., the Franklin County Sheriff's Office was called out on the report of a three-vehicle accident at the intersection of Highway 65 and 255th Street, or County Road C-13, near Sheffield. Franklin County Sheriff Aaron Dodd tells Radio On The Go News that a 2009 Chevrolet Silverado, driven by Jacqueline Lyman of Sheffield, was traveling west on 255th Street. As her vehicle approached the stop sign at the intersection, it struck the rear of a 2010 Ford Taurus, driven by Joseph Neff of Sheffield, who was slowing to a stop. Lyman's vehicle pushed Neff's vehicle through the intersection across Highway 65 into the northwest corner of the intersection. Another vehicle, a 2022 Chevrolet Malibu driven by a minor, was traveling south on Highway 65 and attempted to turn east onto 255th Street. As they attempted to turn, the collision between Lyman and Neff occurred. Following the collision, Lyman attempted to maneuver around the collision and as a result rolled at least once in the roadway and struck the 2022 Chevrolet Malibu, causing significant damage to the front end of the Malibu. That vehicle later came to rest in the south ditch of 255th Street east of Highway 65. All of those involved in the accident were transported to Mercy One North Iowa Medical Center in Mason City for treatment and have since been released. Lyman was later charged with failure to stop with an assured distance and open container of alcohol. An investigation by the Franklin County Sheriff's Office continues, awaiting results for potential charges of an OWI for Lyman. All vehicles sustained damages in excess of $10,000 each. Assisting at the scene were the Sheffield Police Department, Franklin General Ambulance, Sheffield EMS, and the Sheffield Fire Department. In a post on the newspaper's Facebook page yesterday, Ross Hawker announced the sale of the Green Recorder after 55 years of family ownership. He confirmed that ownership and operation of the newspaper will transfer to the Charles City Press beginning with next week's issue. He says while the news may seem sudden to readers, Hawker said that it's a decision that the family has been working through for several years. The Green Recorder has served the Green community since 1970 under the Hawkers, who maintained local coverage through decades of industry change. Hawker cited ongoing challenges facing small-town newspapers, including rising costs and declining advertising revenue, as factors in the decision. The paper will now be managed by the staff of the Charles City Press. Green native Paula Euban will take over coverage of local news and North Butler schools. The Hawkers thanked readers for their support and said they believe the new team will continue the Recorder's commitment to local journalism. Our thanks to the Green Recorder for that story and to the Hawkers for their dedication to local journalism over these past 55 years. Ross has been a great partner as well as his dad before him, and we wish them the best in their future. In other news, La Luz Central Cultural announced yesterday that it is immediately discontinuing their English class partnership with North Iowa Area Community College. The decision comes after a new federal mandate implemented through Iowa Workforce Development that requires all adult education participants to show proof of U.S. citizenship to attend class. In a public statement from La Luz Director Jeanette Occult says, quote, "We regret having to end this partnership, but we cannot, in good conscience, host a program that excludes the very people La Luz Central Cultural was created to support," end quote. The class was intended to help permanent residents prepare for their naturalization interview after filing the Form N-400 application for naturalization. The full statement can be found attached to this news story at radioonthego.com. Mason City will soon be breaking ground on its first new downtown hotel in more than a century in a years-long announcement. A groundbreaking ceremony has been set for 11:30 a.m. on Thursday, October 16th, just south of Southbridge Mall at 214 South Delaware Avenue in the Riverwalk District. The project is an 88-room, home-to-suites by Hilton extended-stay hotel managed by Kenseth Hospitality Companies. The new hotel will connect Music Man Square through Mason City's first skywalk and include modern amenities such as an indoor pool. The last new downtown hotel, the Hanford, opened in 1922. City officials say the project is the third and final phase of the River City Renaissance Initiative, which has already delivered a multi-purpose arena and an indoor-outdoor performing arts pavilion. The effort was approved by Mason City voters. City Administrator Aaron Burnett said the new hotel will help create a true entertainment district, welcoming visitors to experience the city's history, arts, and outdoor recreation. The public is invited to attend the ceremony on October 16th. The U.S. Department of Justice will investigate whether the Des Moines School District has prioritized race-based hiring practices rather than evaluating job applicants based on merit. Radio Iowa reports that announcement came amid September 29th's news that Des Moines Superintendent Ian Roberts, detained by immigration agents last Friday, had submitted his resignation, and the Des Moines School Board met on later that evening to accept that resignation. School Board President Jackie Norris, who's also running for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate, says it's the right decision given the circumstances. Roberts worked in schools in at least four other states over the past 20 years, and Maryland election officials say Roberts was registered to vote in that state for the past 9 years, but had not voted. Governor Kim Reynolds has appointed Fort Dodge native Mark Campbell as the director of the Iowa Department of Administrative Services. His appointment takes effect October 6th. Campbell is a small business owner who also served as Webster County Supervisor for more than a decade from 2013 to 2024. His public service has extended statewide, including as vice chair of the Iowa State Association of Counties Board of Directors and as chair of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission. Reynolds says Campbell's career reflects dedication to leadership, business innovation, and community progress, adding that he'll bring that focus to the department. She also thanked Craig Paulson, director of the Department of Management, for serving as interim DAS director during the transition. Campbell says he's honored by the appointment and looks forward to ensuring the department provides efficient and transparent services to state government. The Department of Administrative Services manages state resources in human resources, general services, central procurement, and fleet services, as well as state accounting. It also oversees the State Library of Iowa and the State Historical Society of Iowa. And finally this morning, voters in the AGWSR School District will vote on a proposed $12.76 million bond referendum during November's election. A proposed $14.45 million bond issue was defeated in the AGWSR School District in 2024, with 59.15% of votes cast approving the measure and 40.85% voting against. Bond referendums need 60% voter approval to pass. BCLEW and AGWSR Superintendent Ben Petty tells Radio On The Go News after the bond failed in 2024, the District Facilities Committee got together to review community feedback in hopes of passing a slightly different version this time around.
There are some changes to this one. A lot of it's the same. The overall scale of it, I know the Facilities Committee and the board wanted to be responsive to some of the feedback they got from the community, so it did come in about $2 million, estimated less than that.
If approved, funds will go toward high school science and family consumer science classroom renovations, renovations to the industrial technology classroom, new bus barns in Ackley and Wellsburg, HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and roofing improvements.
Many of those are original, very outdated, been malfunctioning quite a bit over the past few years from all indications I've gotten. And you get to the point with a lot of those where replacement parts to even fix are no longer available. So there's certainly a need there in the high school to improve air quality, heating, ventilation, and so on. And like I said, the electrical panels are also very dated, and some of that infrastructure is in need of being replaced.
The AGWSR School Board in September approved to move ahead with a bond vote, and Petty says the next 5 weeks will be about informing the public about this year's referendum.
Been trying to get the word out. A lot of it's been kind of person to person in some cases with folks that are interested, but also on the district website and our social media. We've had some articles in the local paper, and we'll have some more in those coming out. And then we're looking at planning time for a tour and more of an explanation on it, but don't have those dates set yet.
A general chamber meeting will be held on Thursday at the Prairie Bridges Park Pavilion. That's today, as attendees will learn more about the upcoming bond referendum. That meeting begins at 6 p.m. More information on the AGWSR bond referendum can be found with a link attached to this news story at radioonthego.com. There's more online, as always. Don't forget to stay with us here on the air. Coming up, we'll have a look at your regional weather forecast and also your funeral announcements coming up next.